He's seen it from all sides. As a cop, as a clergyman, as a candidate, even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And we are live on the Joe Whitehead Show. I'm calling this segment Bored to Death. It's spelled B-O-A-R-D, so we're going to be talking about the school board. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. We are live and armed. Florida State Statute 790, that's all I got to say. Joe is traveling. We wish him a safe journey. He'll be back next week. We do take your calls live. We really want to hear from you. It's 430-CHAT. That's 239-430-2428. So please call in at any time. I have two in-studio guests. My co-host, David Balduk. He's a regular on this show, as well as the Bob Harden Show. He's a blogger on BaldukeandBracci.com. That's BaldukeandBracci.com.
That's a mouthful. Nice job.
And he's on the board of Parents Rock. And like I said, you hear him quite often on here. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be here.
And with me in studio also is our guest from the front line. He's Doug Rankin, Collier County Committee Man to the Republican Party of Florida. Doug, good morning.
Good morning. I'm live and armed and ready to be with you.
And like I said, today's episode, we're going to continue the concepts that Joe has been bringing to you these several weeks. Collier County School Board, candidates, the budget, the shenanigans that are going on with them. Last week, he did a fantastic hour-long episode with two candidates for the same district. I don't know how he did it. It was even. They all got a chance to speak on all the questions. It was Mary Ellen Cash and Darlene Alvarez. So it was a good episode, and we'll continue in that vein with the Collier County School Board. But first, let's do our front line with Doug. And what do we got today, Doug?
Oh, we got a lot of things going on. I want to cover this Russian summit for a moment because that's what was on the news as we were opening. Basically, you've got a lot of Democrats that are willing to risk war with the Russians, and I mean real war, not a Cold War, a real war with the Russians over this nonsense Russia collusion. You know, they wanted Trump to stand up on that stage and insult the leader of the number two nuclear power in the world and the guy who's got as big a button as we do and is just crazy enough to push it, maybe. You're talking a former KGB guy. And by the way, I love it the other day. These dang talking heads from these networks, they have no clue what they're talking about. No. There is no KGB anymore. It's now that's FSB. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the GRU. That never went away. And she's talking about the GRU like they're just another intelligence agency in Russia. These guys and gals are the worst of the worst. You know, the KGB or FSB, you know, you can maybe have a beer with those guys and discuss mutual things. You know, our GRU, if they think you're disloyal to them, they will cremate you alive. These are not nice people. And she's talking to them that they're just like the KGB and the FSB, which is nonsense. So I love so much for paying attention to network news. But, you know, there's a lot more important things that Putin and Trump needed to discuss. They needed to discuss Syria. They needed to discuss the very large nuclear force that Russia has and has modernized when we have not. And by the way, for those of you who haven't listened to prior shows, there's a video out. You can look it up on YouTube that Russia put out, that they put out to their Senate, their bodies, to show how their new nuclear forces will work. And you're not going to like the example they used. One nuclear weapon that's capable of wiping out Texas or France, either one, except they used it as an example in Florida. Yeah. This particular weapon was going to hit Fort Myers, Tampa, Orlando, Miami, and Fort Lauderdale, essentially wiping out the lower part of Florida. And if this doesn't bring the seriousness of these discussions home, I don't know what else will, especially to a Southwest Florida listening audience. And, you know, there are other things you need to discuss. You need to discuss Ukraine where, oh, Trump is really favoring Putin. You know, Obama would not even give them lethal aid to protect themselves. Neither would he give that to the Baltic states, which they're trying to reabsorb. And they're essentially taking over Ukraine. And Ukraine, guys, if you believe in world peace, Ukraine is probably the biggest oak stake through world peace that's happened in a long time. Ukraine had nuclear weapons when the Soviet Union broke up. And we and the Russians convinced them to give them back to Russia and be totally nuclear free if we would all agree to protect them in the event somebody tried to take them over. Well, guess what? Unfortunately, Obama was president when Russia took over Ukraine and whatever that little town is at the bottom there. They're so desperate for a seaport, a warm water seaport. Yeah. And basically, we stood back and did nothing.
They annexed
so
Crimea.
We violated that agreement with Ukraine. Now, what's going to happen the next time a state wants to give up its nuclear weapons and we promise to protect them? They're going to tell us to go stuff it where the sun doesn't shine. And that is the biggest blow to world peace I know of. Thank you, Obama. But these are things that Trump and Putin needed to discuss that really mean something. He didn't need to be sitting there insulting to the face of a man who's not really big on being insulted to his face and is... Maybe his temperament is a slight bit of a thin veneer over a seething "I'd like to kill you" level, and that's not what you do. That's insanity, what they wanted him to do.
Yeah.
And, so what? They tried to influence our elections. We try to influence theirs. We both like to stop the other. In fact, there's just a story today that the FBI hacked the hackers. So whatever. That's the way games in the international universe are played. Because there is no rule. The United Nations really doesn't have the power to stop anybody from doing anything. You know, that's just the way, like old Mr. Liddy said, the international relations is a bad neighborhood at midnight. And there are no rules and there are no cops. And so that's just the way it is, guys. If you don't believe me, then you also apply to Mr. Liddy's other rule, that Americans like their foreign policy, like the toilets at Holiday Inn, sanitized for your protection. Well, it's not really that way, guys. It is a bad neighborhood at midnight. Been there. So you just got to understand that. And when two world leaders of the two leading nuclear powers of this world get together, they got more important things to discuss than the dreams of a bunch of Democratic people in the FBI. They tried to coup the United States president.
Yep.
But anyway, enough for that.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, one of the biggest, critics of this whole summit and, one of the biggest saber rattlers. And I actually don't even consider him a Democrat, because he caucuses with the Democrats. But that's Senator Bernie Sanders. Oh, this is terrible and this and that. And well, for those of you who may know, I grew up in Burlington, Vermont, and when I entered my freshman year at Burlington High School, Bernie Sanders was the newly elected mayor. And all of us knew his game right then and there. We couldn't believe this guy got elected. He never held a job in his life. And he's just basically been living off the trough. This whole, spent time in a communist kibbutz as a youngster, and took his honeymoon in the communist Soviet Union in the 80s. So, he loved Russia and Sevastopol. I think he went to Sevastopol. It was Yaroslavl. Anyway, on his honeymoon, and he thought it was just the greatest place. When they were, after they ended up murdering 60 million of their own people and murdering about 6 million Ukrainians, and they put political dissidents in prison, for just speaking up and things of that nature. And he loved the place, so much that he wanted the honeymoon there. Now. You got Putin. It's like, okay, you could say, some nasty things about him, but let's look at what he's done since he's taken over. He's lowered the taxes of everyone in Russia to a flat 13%, got rid of the estate tax. Moscow real estate is some of the highest in the world. So he's modernizing this country economically. And, they have a lot more freedoms than they did under, communist dictatorship. So, now they're the greatest enemy. Bernie Sanders is like, this is public enemy number one. But, when they were a communist dictatorship killing 60 million of their own citizens, hey, it's such a great place. I want a honeymoon there.
Yeah, well, that sautés me into something else. And John, if you wanted to add anything.
No, I actually am very interested in your trip to Orlando.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
He just sautéed me into
segued
me right into two topics. One is there was an article out this morning that the biggest growing group of Democrats is Democratic Socialists.
Yep.
And so thank you very much. Continue to go to the left and alienate the vast majority of Americans. If you want to know how socialism works, there, I have two things for you. One is a quote by Margaret Thatcher, which is socialism works until you run out of other people's money.
Yep.
And number two, if you want to know how well socialism works, look at a country drowning in oil and eating dogs and cats for dinner, Venezuela.
Yep.
And by the way, if you see any of these Sitco stations or Valerio stations, you're helping support that government. I don't. Anyway, the other thing you segued into is China. And, you know, we have a situation with China now. Well, there are several articles out this morning where China is attempting to replace the U.S. as a world superpower. We're talking economically, militarily, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, think of how the world would be if the next time there's a big conflict or a big push, China and their wonderful humanistic policies rule the world.
Well, Doug, let's come back to this because we're at our first break already. Our time flies. But Joe loves the Neapolitan gourmet, so we got to talk about it before we go to break.
Yeah.
Vinny over there, it's at the Bed Bath & Beyond Plaza on Airport and Pine Ridge. I've known Vinny a long time. We used to call him my cousin Vinny. And yeah, he's got some of the greatest food you will ever eat. I mean, he's got a kitchen in the back. He'll make you homemade lasagna. He'll make you subs. Joe just faints with this Soprasada sub that he gets from Vinny. So please check out the Neapolitan Gourmet at Bed Bath and Beyond Plaza. And Vinny, hello, bring free food, you know, anytime.
Yeah.
We'll taste test it for you. We'll be honest, I swear.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go to break. Thank you.
98.9 WGUF.
This is the city. Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith. BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Hey, do you want to save, I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tammy Amy Trail North. Go there today. Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
And we are back live on the Joe Whitehead Show. And we are live and armed. And I've been advised by counsel to neither confirm nor deny that I am exercising my Second Amendment and concealed carry rights in the state of Florida. We're back with the frontline segment with Doug. And we were just talking about China.
Yeah, and you know, we've got the CIA this morning claiming that China wants to replace the U.S. as a world superpower. This is militarily and economically. And understand something, you know, some of us were have the privilege about 8 or 9 months ago to sit down to breakfast with the former ambassador to China from the United States during the Bush administration. And China is not in the trade business to make money. They're in the trade business to stay alive, and they'll suck every job out of the world in order to keep their people that are coming off those farms every year employed. And they'll suck our jobs away, and pretty soon our kids and grandkids are going to be working for third world wages or not have a job at all. And this is true not only of us, but the Europeans and all that. And that this is the reason Trump has to do these trade things, because if he doesn't, there's a day when we're not going to be worth a darn. And can you imagine the world? You know, look at America. You know, we could have ruled the entire world after World War II.
Yep.
Did we? No. If China were in that position, what the heck do you think they'd do, guys and gals? Guess what? They would. They would have ruled the world. And that's what this is all about, guys. This is not fantasy land. This is not a cute little debate society. This is reality, guys. Now, Supreme Court, I like Mitch McConnell seems to have found a set somewhere.
Uh-oh.
I don't know how long it took him, but he found one.
It's about time.
Yeah, about time. He is going to threatening to hold the Supreme Court vote on Brett. And I love that. It's my oldest son's first name, too.
All right.
And so that's why I call him by his first name. On the eve of the election, to make those Democratic senators in states that voted for Trump have to come out against him and lose their seats. What a shame. And he'd still get him in there. And so I love that he's grown a set. Now, about the Sunshine Summit, this was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Florida Republican Party does this every 2 years. If it's during a president, then it's strictly the presidential situation. And I've had the privilege of, you used to call them presidencies. That's when we only did them during presidential years. These go way back. I've got a whole bunch of these hanging on my wall at home. And this time, like before, we had Fox News there live, did the debate. And so nationally, now the best the Democrats could do for their little debate of social, of communists and socialists was a couple of statewide PBS
right
broadcast.
Now, these are gubernatorial primary debates.
Right. Yeah, we national debate.
Yeah,
and so people in against Florida is what, the third largest state in the nation now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also by the way, we had that on Thursday. We had a lot of get-togethers Thursday night, and Friday we had a lot of speakers. And I don't have the big long list here. You can look that up online. The surprise speaker at the end of the day was Dr. Ben Carson.
Mm.
Who was one of the presidential candidates who is now running Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, he was talking about God and conservatism. And understand, this is a man who grew up in a single-parent family, just like our governor, in the slums of Detroit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And became, by 33, he was top pediatric neurosurgeon in the country. And I have a great affinity for that. One of those saved my son's life when he was 13.
Mm.
And he was talking about this story politically. I don't want to give away his whole speech because we're probably going to have these various people come to our various Reagan dinners and all that, Lincoln-Reagan dinners. And he was talking about this one kid. You know, he came to him, and it was supposedly a hopeless case. It was brain cancer in the brainstem.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a death sentence. There's nothing, even today, we can't do anything for that. And that was years ago. So he said, and by then the child couldn't even stand up and he was drooling and whole nine yards. It was bad news. And but the parents were begging him to do something. So he, good-hearted guy, he went in there and he opened it up. Maybe the scans were wrong. Maybe this wasn't just cancer. Maybe it was some fungal growth. He opened it up and he found, no, it's the cancer. So he got out as much as he could without damaging the brain, right. And sewed him back up and said, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, you know, there's nothing I can do. He's going to die. But then all of a sudden, the kid got better, where he was conscious again. And he's going, wait a minute, this shouldn't have happened. Tell you what, there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that this thing isn't in the brainstem. It's just pushing against the brainstem.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back in there. Most doctors wouldn't have done this. And open him back up. And I'm going to burrow down through this tumor very, very carefully, because it's like when they were working on my son's head when he was 13. You touched the brain. You killed whatever you touched.
Yep. Yeah.
Period. Yep. And especially the brain stem, which controls your breathing and body mm-hmm. temperature. You're dead.
Yeah.
If they do that. And so he got in there and he managed to pull out the tumor. And he, all of a sudden, he runs against the shiny wall of the brain stem. It had not penetrated.
Oh, man.
It was just pushing against it.
Yeah.
And that kid today is a minister doing very well, preaching the gospel of God to his flock and others. And Dr. Carson said, that's when I decided I wasn't the surgeon. The guy upstairs was. I was just his hands.
Yeah.
And it was a very moving speech and all that. And
he would have been booed by Democrats with that story.
Yeah, I know. They'd have just as soon aborted the kid. You know, that's a lovely, lovely. They care about the little guy and want to kill all the little people. Nice people. Anyway, but well, let's get into that. But what a mess. Our governor, he grew up in a single parent family in a slum, and look what he made of himself.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many people like that. What people don't understand isn't the rich and the poor. Mm-hmm. It's those groups in this country are constantly changing. This isn't Europe where you're born a lord. You got to really screw up not to stay a lord.
Right.
Although they possibly did do that. Basically, in this country, you can go from poor to rich and rich to poor relatively quickly if you screw up or do the right thing, depending on which side of the equation you're in. And that's what the Republican Party is all about. We want to give everybody a chance to get their piece of the pie and to make the pie bigger. The Democrats want to slice the pie up equally and keep the pie the same size. And you can imagine if the pie were the same size as when I was born or you were born. When I was born, people in this country made $5,900 a year. Yeah. That was a damn good wage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and what would that get you today? When I was in college, the socialist Democrats in college, we want to give everybody a fantastic salary of $35,000 a year. What would that buy you today?
Right, and where would the money come from?
Yeah, right. No
but,
one.
Doug, it sounded like you had a good time up there in Orlando, and we were nationally televised.
Were recorded by a lot of us, but we're not going to play them publicly. You're going to have to come to our various dinners to hear the speakers.
Well, Doug, thank you. I appreciate the episode.
Yeah.
I do want to circle back to David. Our topic is the Collier County School Board, the candidates, the budget, and 2 weeks ago you were on the Bob Harden show and you were talking about a manufacturing grant and how they're playing games and, is it a college? Is it within 50 miles of the high school? It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, there was an article about it in the Naples Daily News a couple weeks ago and how the state was awarded $3 million to start this manufacturing college so they can train kids to become, have manufacturing skills, because supposedly they don't have those skills to be trained in manufacturing here. So to me, and it was sold as this great thing and it's going to be so fantastic for our children and the workforce. And to me, I took a different look at it in a number of areas. One, it was admitting that the graduates that we are producing in Collier County, the majority of them, are not skilled enough in just basic reading and learning that they cannot be taken by a manufacturer and trained to press the certain buttons for manufacturing. So they have to, they had to get this grant and say, we're going to be setting up a manufacturing college, essentially. And another thing about this that I couldn't believe is, once it's set up, it's going to be run by Collier County Public Schools and Superintendent Patton, and they are going to charge tuition for children to go to this manufacturing college, essentially, to be trained. So, again, whatever happened to the public sector where you're taken on and you're provided the salary or an hourly wage, and you're trained in what you do? When I got out of college, I was hired by AIG as their underwriting training program. They paid me a salary. I went to New York and they trained me to become an underwriter. So again, what happened to the public sector actually doing the training? And then this, they're charging tuition. When have you ever heard of a public school system who gets over a billion dollars of our tax money every year?
Yep.
And then they admit that they're producing graduates that can't even be trained for manufacturing. So now they're going to charge students tuition, pay, I think it was like $6,000 a year to essentially be trained to press buttons in manufacturing. It's just utterly ridiculous.
And whatever happened to Lorenzo Walker? I do agree that there's a certain segment of the population that does not need a college degree. They need to know how to do air conditioning and plumbing and
absolutely
all the other trades where they can make just as much money, and some people like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to have those people and turning out a continuous stream of college graduates who end up with a big student loan and living with mom and dad is probably not a good idea. But where's Lorenzo Walker? Last time I heard, that place did a really good job. What do they need to reinvent it for?
Exactly. We're sending $1 billion to the school system every year. And use those tax money for some to produce college ready kids and some to produce, ready for, air conditioning, electricians, carpentry, you name it. Mechanic, great, absolutely. So, you know, we need those people.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. When I was a kid, from like ninth grade on, there was a group of students that went to our high school for the first half of the day, and they got on a bus in Manatee County. They took them to our version of Lorenzo Walker, where they finished out the day every day in their chosen profession. And we need to go back to that. But I don't think the school system wants to go back to that. They want to instead do this nonsense, which is more bureaucracy, more administrators.
More
control,
and then charge the kids to do it. You know, I mentioned before when I entered my freshman year at Burlington High School, Bernie Sanders was the mayor. And Burlington High School was six buildings, and five of them were, you know, classroom academic buildings. And the biggest building of the six was the vocational building. And, you know, so we had kids, to, you know, training to be whatever. So, you know, there's definitely a place for that in the public school system. Not charging students extra money when you're already taking in $1 billion and, quite frankly, failing at it.
We're up to our second break. So I do want to jump in here. But before we go to break, you know, Joe likes to talk about AC by Florida Comfort Systems. It's locally owned and operated by Denny Martin. He's a veteran of the Navy. You can reach them at 774-5501 or acbyfcs.com, acbyfcs.com. A couple weeks ago, I had the honor of meeting one of their technicians because my AC broke. So I can speak a testimonial. And they did great work. And, you know, unfortunately, my AC is old enough that I'm going to have to get it replaced. But you know what? I already got a quote from Denny's group. So it's AC by Florida Comfort System. They're at 774-5501. He tests all his employees' drug testing and background checks. They're the ones with the Cool Dog logo on the vans. And we're going to take a quick break.
98.9 WGUF.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
This is the city, Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith, BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
And we are back live on the Joe Whitehead Show. We are live and armed, as per to Florida State Statute 790. And we are talking about the school board. The segment is called Board to Death, B-O-A-R-D. And so we've been commenting a little bit about the money, about what their minimum requirements should be in order to get students. You know, what's the success of, you know, we're spending $1 billion on this school, and yet we're going to charge tuition for them to be remedially trained. So, David, you had some more information on this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of wanted to segue into Doug's stories and thoughts on, you know, talking about Ben Carson and Governor Scott. You know, they came from low-income, you know, households and things of that, and, you know, rose to be very successful. And, you know, essentially that's the, you know, the Republican message. It doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. If you just apply yourself, you know, this is America. We're going to fight. You can find a way, you know, to get into different situation. And that's the whole thing that really bothers me with the Collier County school system is, again, we mentioned it. They take in $1 billion a year to educate our children. And Roy Terry, who's running for reelection, who's the board chair, In 2016, he voted to increase the budget by $90 million. In 2017, he voted to increase the budget by $74 million. So just in the last 2 years prior to this year's budget, he voted to raise the budget by $164 million. And then he joined the 3-2 vote that had the audacity to sue the Republican-led legislature for they didn't want to share the same capital outlay with charter schools compared to the what they call traditional public schools here in Collier County. And that outlay that they didn't want to share was $4 million.
And that would have helped a school at Immokalee where all their schools are failing.
Right, exactly. And so you look at, okay, and the reason they're suing, why they always raise the, you know, these issues is because they don't like being exposed on what the type of academic achievement that they're producing here in Collier County. And one thing I like to do is direct people right to their site. You can mm-hmm. go just at your favorite search engine, just look up Collier Schools test results. And there's a page, and you can go to the 2016-2017 EOC, which is end of course, and FSA, which is Florida Standards Assessment test. And then go down to the elementary school and then go to table 2A, which is the proficiency of English language arts for all 33 elementary schools. And so when you look at it, it is shocking on the proficiency number, which is scoring a 3 or better. In 2017, 25 of the 33 schools had a proficiency score that was 66 or below.
Oh.
Okay? So, I mean, there we have 76% of the elementary schools producing D or F level results. And we're talking a number of these schools. I think there were 4 or 5 schools in the 40s. 4 or 5 schools in the 30s, 4 to 5 schools in the 20s in English language arts, reading and writing proficiency. This is a complete travesty on what they're doing. And you look at Mason Classical Academy, some, you know, what they always attack, and their proficiency in fifth grade, English language arts was 92%. Okay, and which was top 1% in the entire state, and they don't follow the same curriculum as traditional Collier County public schools, and that's the reason why they're constantly attacked. And then they say, "Oh, well, it's just for rich white kids," and it's you know, even though it's a need blind admission school, and it's just, you know, it's it, and again, we go fall back to that same art, you know, Ben Carson, Governor Scott. It doesn't matter, you know, what you're so if you give the kids a great education. Let's just say you took the curriculum and the education of Mason Classical Academy and applied it to every one of these other traditional elementary schools. They'd have a lot higher than, you know, in the 20s in proficiency, that's for sure.
Especially since we spend more than all but 4 school systems in the United States, you'd expect a lot more.
Yeah.
My older son has an academic letter from his high school out of this county. And he succeeded like his dad and his brother in spite of the Florida school system, not because of it. And it's a shame to say. And if we're blowing all this money, what are we getting? And you were going to compare them to a poor school there up in Massachusetts, or you compare them to what is now one of the number one schools in this state, I think is Sanford, which is Seminole County.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, they're known for Larry the Cable Guy lives there, and this was and things like this, and they're doing better than we are and spending a hell of a lot less money.
Yeah, and one thing I like to, you know, direct people to is the U.S. News and World Report comes out every year. It's usually in May, their annual high school rankings. And according to the Naples Daily News write-up in 2015, when they released the 2015 report, these results can be compared across state lines. So mm-hmm. you can compare school districts not only in, you know, in Florida with other school districts in Florida. You can compare school districts all across the country. So one thing I like to do, and they say, oh, well, we have so many kids here that are economically disadvantaged and things of that nature. So I pulled up one high school in Collier County, and that's Lely High School, because they have a total minority enrollment of 75%, yeah. And according to the U.S. News and World Report high school rankings, and they have a total economically disadvantaged of 70%. And you look at their proficiency from the U.S. News and World Report on, again, reading and writing, and they have it broken up into 3 columns. It's the state proficiency, it's the county or the district proficiency for Collier, and then the school's proficiency. So in English, reading, and writing, the state overall of Florida has a proficiency of 50%.
Mm.
The county has a – they're beating the state, but it's 52%.
Wow, big deal.
And that was down from 55% right. last year.
Yep.
So we're going down in terms of proficiency in reading and writing for all of Collier County High School students.
Yep.
And Lely High School has a 46% proficiency of producing high school students who can read and write at a 12th grade level.
Right.
So compare that to I like to compare it to a school, Chelsea High School in Massachusetts. Chelsea mm-hmm. High School is the only – city in Massachusetts where over 50% of the people were born outside of the United States. They rank 357th in per capita income in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which is fifth from last. So it's, you know, an economically disadvantaged place. They have, according to the U.S. News and World Report, they have a total minority enrollment of 94%. They don't put the economic disadvantage number. For some reason, it's not listed, but I can tell you that's very high. It's probably in the 90s.
Yeah.
And so you look at the overall proficiency of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the District of Chelsea, and the school itself. Massachusetts overall, as a state, English proficiency of 90%.
Wow.
And this is compared to 50 in Florida. The Chelsea is 64% versus Lely High School was 46%. And so, you know, the thing is, last year, Chelsea was 80% proficiency. And so they're working with, you know, Common Core, and it's starting to take its effect even up there. But again, still, much more economic disadvantage than a school like Lely High School in Collier County, and much higher performance in terms of proficiency, according to the U.S. News and World Report.
And most likely less money.
Oh, yeah. Their annual budget is $14,000 per student, and they spend $14,000 per student. We spend over $22,000 per student here in Collier County.
And we have our first caller on line one, Joe. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
I'm enjoying your discussion. I just want to remind everyone that on Tuesday, July 31st, which is just 10 days away, at 5:45 p.m. will be the first budget hearing for Collier County Public Schools. So please come out and bark at them about this over $1 billion budget. And I'm looking to see what kind of smoke and mirrors they throw at us for student safety, given the money that's supposed to be coming down from Tallahassee, and then how they work with the sheriff's office. We have to make sure that we're not getting double dipping here between the sheriff's budget and the school budget.
Right, because sooner or later, both double dippings come out of our wallets.
Right, but if they're moving money around, then they can both justify increasing their millage.
And I will also remind you, they turned down the state effort to have armed people within the school.
So they are adding school resource officers. I just want to make sure that they're not overcharging us.
Right. And, Joe, are you going to be there?
Of course. I always bark at these hearings.
Well, hopefully we can have you call in and tell us the results.
Okay. Well, I hope some people join me, too. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Dr. Joe. That's a PhD gentleman. He and his mother spend a lot of time looking after the school board and other government officials in this town, and I'm very grateful for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, great people. They're always there. They're always I love Joe's mom, always wears her American flag shirt and you know, is always looking out for the best interests of the children, and that's what counts.
So, and the taxpayers too, both.
So Dave, getting back to what you were just saying, as best we can, we're trying to compare apples to apples. So somebody can't say, "Oh, well, you're picking a good school here and a bad school there." You try to do your best to normalize kind of the situation, and even with, you know, almost $10,000 per student less, they're doing much better.
Right. And the reason I bring up Massachusetts is because Massachusetts in the mid-90s was essentially, they were considered, you know, kind of their test results on, you know, national norm tests were kind of middle of the road. You know, they were okay. And so they had a bipartisan group that got together, a Republican governor got together with the head of the Democrat head of the state Senate. And they said, you know what, we're going to revamp all of our standards. And they hired a woman by the name of Sandra Stotsky to revamp all the standards for Massachusetts. And they turned out to be essentially the gold standard of academic standards in the country and in the world. Mm. Massachusetts quickly shot up to be constantly number one in what they call the nation's report card, the NAEP scores. And then they were frequently number one or top five when they were tested as a state versus other nations in the world and what's called the TIMS. And it wasn't just, you know, English or reading and writing. It was mathematics. It was science. It was a totally across the board. And then, and her curriculum, especially, was the foundation of becoming a good reader and writer. Because if you're a good reader and writer, as in elementary school, you're going to have a lifetime of intellectual curiosity, and you can teach yourself to do anything. Yep. And so that's the same curriculum that Mason Classical Academy has at the elementary level.
Okay.
It's literature rich. It's good literature rich. It's you know, becoming good readers and writers. It's classically based. It's a lot of dialogue between the Socratic method, dialogue between the teacher and the students.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's a lot of the same things that Massachusetts found the success in. And look at the results.
Yeah.
They're 92% proficiency here in fifth grade, and it just blows away every other traditional.
You can't argue with it.
Yeah, and it's not economic based because, look, you know, we just showed a school like Chelsea and how it blows away. You know, they have economic numbers that are probably, you know, worse than a school like Lely, and they do much better than them.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, folks, we are up on our third break. Before we do go to that, Joe likes to talk about Alessi Family Care. And again, another testimonial. My wife and kids and I have been seeing Dr. Albert and Dr. Patricia and Aaron, the physician assistant, probably 18, 19 years now. So we love them to death. We call them Mr. Dr. Alessi and Mrs. Dr. Alessi. And they can be found at AlessiFamilyCare.com. That's A-L-E-S-S-I, AlessiFamilyCare.com. You can also reach them at 992-5444. And you've heard Dr. Al on this show many times. They're at 992-5444. And we're going to go to break.
98.9 WGUF Naples FM Talk. Now you can listen live at WGUF989.com.
Hey, do you want to save? I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today.
Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
And we are live on the Joe Whitehead Show. We are live and armed, and we do take your calls live at 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. Love to hear from you. On our last segment, I want to key in on this new concept that they're pushing at the school board, especially with Superintendent Patton. It's called socio-emotional learning. And it kind of came onto our radar in the June school board meeting where Erica Donalds brought up the consent agenda. They were trying to just mass push it through. And she moved it out to its own agenda item called C225. So it was a contract for this company to bring in survey software for socio-emotional review of the students. And if you'll remember on the Father's Day show here, Joe was talking to Kelly Lichter, also on the school board. And she mentioned it that, you know, they were going to spend over $250,000 over 3 years for this socio-emotional survey software. And she was kind of lamenting the fact that it's one more way that the school is taking over your children. And so at the forum, there was a school forum of the candidates on Monday, hosted by the Florida Citizens Alliance. And the four candidates for District 1 and District 5 were on there. And Jen Mitchell spoke about this. Four times she mentioned it during her time to talk. And She said things like, you know, in the school safety becoming a more comprehensive approach in terms of addressing the mental health and the socio-emotional learning of our students as well. She then later said, you know, in terms of bullying curriculum, next year our district is going to focus on socio-emotional learning. And she used that comment more than once. She said, focus on socio-emotional learning.
How does she know what the district's going to be focusing on next year if she's just a candidate? That's pretty interesting.
It sounds like a little sunshine law violation somewhere there, too.
Is she, you know, I mean, it's documented fact that the district was working with Eric Carter as a candidate, providing him resources to the budget director and providing him with all these budget reports and things of that nature. So I doubt that this is happening in this case.
Oh, yeah. It's not a vacuum. And, you know, they're trying to couch this in phrase like mental health based on what happened at Parkland. And, you know, it's CYA, but it's intrusive. I mean, you know, you're going to get into a situation, and mark my words, where they will push some kind of moral relativism and use this as a bludgeon to take over what parents should rightly be doing in teaching their kids right and wrong.
Yeah, well, you had an absolute failure of the school system and the sheriff over there and the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but we're talking anybody who's not deaf, dumb, and blind. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a psychiatrist. You don't have to be a social worker. No, that kid was trouble, mm-hmm. and it was just a question of when. Now they're going to use the fact that they missed an obvious beacon of evil to delve into the depths of every kid. That's insanity.
Yeah.
They just need to get their heads out of their you-know-wheres, and they need to pay attention to the obvious and deal with it and not deal with this. Now, we do need some mental health treatment in this town, because right now, if you're arrested for a felony and sent to state prison, they will give you mental health treatment.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the county jail for a misdemeanor, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a local judge who's retiring. Judge Carr wrote an article, op-ed on that. And you need to review it, though. We need to do something about that locally, because 17% of the people you walk by on the street are not just mildly depressed. They're seriously mentally ill. And unless you deal with them, you're going to have economic and criminal problems, the likes of which you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, but I think they're going to use this as a blunt tool to attack parents in their rightful sphere of raising their children.
No, see, this needs to be outside, and you know, when people run across the criminal justice system, they get the help they need.
That's different, yeah.
See, this is what I mean. You know, and it's funny. My son and I remember when he was a fifth grader. He's now going to be a senior in high school. But when he was a fifth grader, he's like, "Hey, we were taught in China they basically everything is legalism,
mm-hmm.
and where if one person does something wrong, then everyone is punished." And you know, and it's like, okay, doesn't it sound a lot like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, one kid, you know, does something, you know, horribly wrong. But as Doug mentioned, it's like, well, we had about, 46 times where the sheriff or the FBI could have done something about it, but they didn't. And now it's like everyone has got to go through, you know, mental screening and socio-emotional. It's like, well, you know, no. All right. Deal with it on an individual basis, and if there are problems, then get on it early rather than just, you know, not have this promise program say we can't do anything about it because he's a minority, and you know, we're not going to do anything about it because it might hurt his feelings. No, okay, you know, step up and get something done about it.
Yeah, because if you teach a kid from the time they're young that if they have a certain immunity from the effect of the law, they're going to assume that they have that for the rest of their life, and then when they get older, they're going to commit crimes and go to real prison for real crimes, and mm-hmm. you're going to have a problem. And the other reason the Chinese use that is the reason I've told you before. They're worried about the day when the population realizes that the government mm-hmm. can't provide anymore, and they do that because there's a lot more of them than there are of government and control.
Yeah.
And so if you punish an entire group that tries to stop somebody from gaining a foothold in the country to be able to move the populace against you. And that's the kind of control we don't need in this country. That's what totalitarian regimes use to maintain control in an area where they are outnumbered. This goes all the way back to the Roman times. You know, they said, let's put all the slaves and servants in a certain dress. No, we don't want to do that. Then they'll realize there's a lot more of them than there is of us, you know, and this kind of thing. And you know, so that we don't need that kind of totalitarianism control in this country. We need to people that have a mental problem need to be able to raise their hand and say, I got a problem, please help me. And we need to see obvious things like that clown over in Parkland, you know, and that's just another reason why us Republicans don't rely on government for everything. Mm-hmm. Look at how wonderful government prevailed and how wonderful government protected people in that school.
Yeah, and I think
failed at every level.
I think, John, you bring up a good point about, you know, is this going to be a way to kind of insert between the parents and the children? You know, socio-emotional learning, shouldn't that be the parents dealing with the emotional state of their children, no matter their social, you know, what, you know, Ben Carson, yeah, he had some problems growing up. You know, he'd gotten, you know, violent fights and a few things like that, but... You know, his mom, you know, worked it out with him, and, yeah. You know, he went on to great things. It's like, it's not the, you know, you notice in that story, he didn't say, well, I went through this socio-emotional training at my elementary school, and then that propelled me to Johns Hopkins.
Yeah. No, his mother, who couldn't actually read, faked it and made sure that he read every day.
Yeah.
And he spent his time when he wasn't in school at the library or doing his homework and doing things like that. You know, that's what it takes to succeed.
Absolutely. I mean, a similar story to that is, I don't know if a lot of people know, you know, I'm from New England, so I obviously follow the Patriots and Bill Belichick. And Belichick's mother, who apparently can speak six languages, used to read all his like high level books that he was reading books that he was assigned in high school, just so she could have a dialogue with him about the books and what he's learning and things of that nature. And it's like, okay, it's at home again. Yep. You know, it's you know, what's important about this passage, things of that nature. It's not the school getting involved.
And that's something else I would encourage every parent in this county to do. When school opens, you need to have your kids bring home their textbooks and you need to read them. Mm-hmm. Because as good old Dr. Doyle will tell you and others who have fought the battle and lost in this county, you know, we fought a big battle in Tallahassee to make control of the books your kids read local. And then the local school system screwed over that program, for lack of a better term, to keep that from happening. And you're going to see some really communistic, totally fake history, fake science come home in your kids' textbooks. And if enough parents in this county read their kids' textbooks and demand of their kids to bring them home and they read them, most of you are going to want to throw them against the wall. And then you're going to want to go complain to the school system. And enough of you read them and complain to the school system, then maybe things will change in that respect, because otherwise we're locked into these darn fiction history books and fiction science books for the next 5 years, I think.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah, and we need to get busy and get together and do that, because that's the only way. We in this show before have read these books or read the teacher's guides, because teachers slipped us to them, and you'd be just blown away by what's in some of these books that your kids are being indoctrinated with.
Well, and that's what's scary about this, because it's another nose of the camel in the tent that, you know, first it starts out as socio-emotional surveys, then it's, you know, bullying curriculum. And
do you have any guns at home?
Yeah. But guess what? They could use that as fodder to intervene in the home.
My son, when he went to Oak Ridge, there was a kid there beating him up, and the school wouldn't do anything about it. So I told him, son, you go take care of business, and dad will protect you. And all of a sudden, when the school system heard that I told him that, they decided all of a sudden it was time for them to deal with that bully, because otherwise they didn't want to deal with him. But when they had to be forced to deal with him, and, you know, they shouldn't have to be forced to deal with those kind of issues.
But there's ways to deal with the whole child, and... you know, like Mason, we've mentioned, where the kid rises up as a result of the environment that you're providing and putting in front of them. This, to me, just sounds like it's more command and control.
Absolutely. And if you think this is just, it's going to stop here, it's not. Just look at Europe, the essentially far more social democratic than here. And in places like Scotland, they now have a government minder that shows up at every house to a newborn baby and follows the child around throughout its life. Germany is starting to jail parents for homeschooling their children. It's bad news.
We're going to spend some time maybe in a future show talking about the lack of freedom of speech in the UK. There's a guy right now who's in jail for
exposing
rape gangs, yeah. You know, which you would think would be a public service. But anyway, another issue for another day.
Well, guys, we are coming up on the end of the show. It was a quick hour. I do want to appreciate you guys being in studio with me, and Joe will be back next week. So, Joe, safe travels. Everybody, want to thank you for listening, and we did get one call, so that's good. But please always try to call in. We want to hear from you, as Joe was saying to me just this past week. He wants this show to be the voice of the voiceless. So, you know, make this part of your way of, you know, reaching out and saying, I want to be heard. So, everybody, have a great weekend. I thank everybody here in studio, and thanks for listening. Thanks, all.
All right.